Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation, and this is September 11th, 2013. It's a powerful day. And we're going to talk about the latest news, which is that the person that Kerry and McCain were relying upon for trusting the Syrian opposition is a lobbyist for the opposition groups, a liar who never got her PhD. It gets worse by the second to see what this rebel government of ours is doing to this country. Number two, this just came out minutes ago. U.S. weapons that were stolen from Libya raids are now in the hands of enemies in Syria, and our special forces have been pulled out of the country. Highly sensitive, high-quality U.S. military equipment stored in Libya was stolen over the summer by groups aligned and working with terrorist organizations. And, are you ready to this? Hear this? That's why special forces were pulled out of Libya. They were afraid of being killed by their own equipment. This is what your country is under this... Let me control myself. This is America under the fraud in the White House. But you know something? I want to also play for you something in a few minutes. I have the most amazing show I've had all week right now. I have the original tape from 9/11/2001 when we were attacked by the Muslim terrorists who slammed into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and in the field in Pennsylvania. And I want you in a few minutes to hear what I said on that day, on that memorable day. And then you can judge who I am. You can see if I've changed my pitch. You can see if I have not seen things as they are from the beginning. But today I've had a pretty rough day myself, I got to tell you. The same finger that Anthony Weiner used to wish a goodbye to the press, the famous picture of Anthony Weiner with his middle finger up to the press as he left in shame, as he should. Let's see, my day started with me lifting up a paper shredder and trying to empty it of a shredded paper, and the entire cover, which weighed about 40 pounds, came down on my finger and took a little piece of this, not the skin surface, almost down to the bone. My skin is shredded down to the bone. That's A. So I said, stop crying, you know, what are they doing on a battlefield? So I've been wrapping it all. That was today. Wait, you want to hear? It got better by the day. Now I'm going to tell you something you're not going to believe. I have the most wonderful people in the world fly out from the East Coast to buy my boat. I'm getting out of boating because I don't have the time for it. And the boat is fine. It goes through its sea trial. After all day, the captain is lifting up my heavy, like 20-foot dinghy with a 40-horsepower engine, and the cable snaps on the davit. And the dinghy falls, it hits the boat, falls in the water upside down. Now, thank God I wasn't there. I was getting ready for the show. I just got this news. I almost got sick. So let's see. The dinghy got damaged. The boat got damaged. It could all be fixed. You know what I'm saying? Whoever heard of a cable snapping on a davit? I never heard of such a thing, but apparently things happen. And that's what happens with equipment. All I can say is thank God I'm not in charge of maintaining our F-A-18 Hornets and our aircraft carriers. So, no, that the day isn't over yet. I got another one. It's six of time. It's like 9 minutes after six on the West Coast. I have how many more hours till this day is over? Almost 6 hours left. I'm going to stay in the house. I'm just not going to leave. Now, before I do anything else, let me give you my phone number, 855-407-2282. That's the Savage Nation. We're going to talk about the disgraced researcher who Obama, Kerry, and McCain used to tell us that the opposition in Syria were all good guys and not to worry about them. She looks like Mata Hari, acts like Mata Hari, talks like Mata Hari, and also claimed a fake PhD. Now, to those of us with real doctorates from real universities, we never talk about this, but let me tell you something. You know how you hear about guys who were never in the war, who any military, and they have fake medals, like Medals of Honor, Silver Stars, Bronze Stars, and they walk around with them making believe they're war heroes? And there are people who track them down and rightly so, make a big issue of people with fake, you know, medals. There's nothing worse to me than a fake PhD because I killed myself for a great PhD from one of the world's great universities. It was my lifetime dream, and I earned it. This fraud, Elizabeth Obeigi, presented herself as a PhD from Georgetown, and as a result, that moron McCain and that slack-jawed moron Kerry cited her research as to why we should go in and take out Assad. She was fired today because she has no PhD. Can you believe this? Now, if you look into this story, it gets even worse, and I've heard this all of my life. She says, oh, I passed my oral exams, and I'm just waiting to be approved for my PhD. Well, it came out this afternoon that Georgetown said she was not currently registered. She said that she defended her dissertation at Georgetown, but still waiting for the university to confer the degree. Georgetown told Fox News today that this liar had received her undergraduate degree and master's there, but was not currently registered. I know what it's like to pass oral exams, and I also know what it's like to wait to get your PhD. It's not like waiting for a, let us say, an affinity card from an oil company or a, let's say, well, whatever. We don't have to make a trivial example out of it. The fact is that real PhDs from real universities with real dissertations that are published in real journals are extremely important to those who earn them. And this is a fraud. Now, why is it important to you? Because John Kerry and John McCain cited her testimony as a prelude to war and why we should trust the Syrian opposition. You got to listen to clip number one. I don't know if you heard this today, but my crack staff dug up Kerry and McCain talking about this fraudulent lead from this girl. Listen.
John, over the weekend, the Wall Street Journal ran an important op-ed by Dr. Elizabeth Obeghi. I hope you saw it, a Syria analyst at the Institute for the Study of War. Spent a great deal of time inside Syria, including just this month, and I want to read her assessment
you
of the situation on the ground. And I
you
quote the
idiot.
Story.
You're ashamed
the
to the McCain name.
Wisdom holds that the extremist elements are completely mixed in with the more moderate rebel groups. This isn't the case. Moderates and extremists wield control over distinct territory. Contrary to many media accounts, the war in Syria is not being waged entirely or even predominantly by dangerous Islamist and Al-Qaeda diehards.
Now, that's John McCain, the dumbest man in the history of Annapolis, ashamed to the McCain family lineage. His father was a great admiral. His grandfather was a great commander. And this one is like the dumb sheep in the family. John McCain, we are cursed with as one of the worst people in the history of the U.S. Senate, a warmonger, but now a lunatic, who frankly should be removed for senility. He believes what this fraudulent PhD wrote and cites this and tells it to the golfer in the White House? All right, look, it gets worse by the day, and we got more bad and good news for you. I got to tell you that. And then we have a parody of Nancy Pelosi to lighten the mood tonight, because Obamacare is in such trouble. The polls are so against Obamacare that someone dared take on Madam High Horse Pelosi and do a parody of her. And we'll play that for you later on the Savage Nation. Right now, the phone number is again 855-407-282. Let's begin in San Francisco on KSFO. Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Hi, Dr. Savage. How are you?
Okay. What's on your mind? I never answer how I am because we don't know each other, et cetera, and so on.
Well, I wanted to compliment you on something that you said last year after the election when Obama seemed unstoppable. And you said that Barack Obama, and not the Republicans, primarily because they were incapable, would be responsible for his own undoing. And all I can say is, hello, Syria.
You think that Obama has finally had his Waterloo?
He's not at the apex, but it's coming. It's kind of a conspiracy, and it's brewing. Is the final cake baked? No, but it's.
Well, I think most Americans are opposing the war for a number of reasons. One, they're war weary, but two, they know that they don't trust the opposition. That's come out in every poll. The people are not stupid. They know who the opposition are full of terrorists, no matter what this girl said about them, and no matter what McCain said and John Kerry said. The people don't trust them, and rightly so. Okay, but Obama, I'm going to tell you something. Don't underestimate him. I'll make another prediction. He's very dangerous right now because he's backed into a corner. He looks like what he really is. He's a king without clothes. He's naked on the world stage. Everyone's laughing at the guy, and that makes for a very dangerous Martinet in the White House. So don't assume he's not going to go haywire right now. He can get crazier than he's ever been.
Possibility exists.
And he's surrounded. You see, there's no one tempering him. He is surrounded by girls like this. He has nobody to control him. It's not like George Bush had senior advisors who had come through a long period of time, had experience in international affairs, had been in the war, or had been in the military. The man is surrounded by university leftists who are lunatics.
What he needs and what the situation needs is somebody like James Baker.
Well, he doesn't have a James Baker, does he? He has no one leavening him. He has no one he will listen to. Who is the senior adult? Give me the name of a senior adult around Barack Obama. This is like a faculty lounge running America right now. Anti-gun, anti-war, anti-military, anti-police, anti-family, anti-church, anti-American lunatics in control of the United States of America and its military. And here is what they've done to the country so far, and they've just warmed up. Thank you for the call. The phone number is 855-407-282. When I come back, I'm going to play right out of the break my tape from 9/11/2001. Don't be alarmed, because it almost sounds like the War of the Worlds. I don't want you to think that we've just been attacked, but you're going to hear the immediacy in my voice from that day that will live in infamy. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Of course, there is war on the horizon, with war drums being beaten by McCain, Kerry. Do I have to go down the list? You know, I read a little blog comment this morning by a gentleman I never met named Robert Taylor, and he wrote this in one of the blogs. He said, the U.S. builds international relations through bribes, kickbacks, and threats. The pattern was set with Washington's interactions with the North American Indians. In his dealings with the indigenous nations, bribes were offered, treaties broken, and military threats were carried out. You just described how foreign affairs has been carried out since the beginning of civilization. Read Machiavelli, Hobbes, Locke, or Samuel Huntington, and stop being brainwashed by idealistic utopian notions of how foreign affairs should be. Foreign affairs is the state of nature. That's why it is usually messy and imperfect. I thought that was so well written. Another host would have ripped it off and said that they came up with it themselves, but since I'm a scholar by training, I'll tell you who wrote it, and I did. New report just came out from the United Nations. It just came out on Drudge, which is that they can't confirm who did the gas attack. They have no idea who did the gas attack. They will not confirm or deny that it was Assad. It's the headline on the Drudge report right now. Again, war drums are still being beaten. UN circumstantial case, period. It's that simple. U.S. can't prove Assad ordered chemical attack. That's what's developing right now. So it turns out that Kerry and McCain were, you know, selling us a pack of lies based upon this girl who was just fired from Georgetown who has a fake PhD. Now, what you're about to hear occurred on 9/11/2001 when we were attacked, as you remember, by 19 hijackers. I think most of them were from Saudi Arabia. This is what I said on that day of infamy. Listen.
States of America. The radical Muslim world has declared war on America. We are at war. We are at war. Attention, America. This is your Pearl Harbor. This is your Pearl Harbor. People in the World Trade Center today, a World Trade Center that no longer exists, demolished by two hijacked airliners, taken over by radical Muslims. Ladies and gentlemen, you will never forget this day as long as you live. It is time for you to come out of your sleep. It is time for you to put your hats on forward. It is time for you to throw your pornography in a bonfire. It is time for you to turn off your sports. It is time for you to turn off your entertainment. You will not have a nation unless you awaken and stand up like a man.
Say it
what
like
can
it is,
be
Mike.
Done? I want to remind you that we are at war. We do not know the exact count of fatalities at the World Trade Center. As you well know, radical Muslims hijacked these two planes. In fact, on the web right now, Senator Orrin Hatch of the Intelligence Committee is reporting, we have intelligence that two connected to bin Laden said over private airwaves, we hit two targets. We hit two targets. Those two targets, of course, are the World Trade Center in New York City, no longer existent. I'm going to remind you that the United States went to war when Pearl Harbor was attacked, when 2,800 or 2,700 or 2,900 boys were killed by the Japanese. Ladies and gentlemen, what will it take for this country to close the borders, to reassert English as our language, to stop the flood of asylees from every garbage can in the world? This is the result of a weakened nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at war. What must be done? Where are Bush and Cheney? What emergency steps are you taking? Are you offended at Bush's absence? This is a day that will live in infamy, but I want to tell you this. Many of you are frightened in the false assumption that terrorism cannot be fought against. That is the wrong assumption. It is the wrong conclusion. That is what you're going to hear from the defeatists. I want to remind everyone listening to Michael Savage that Japan's kamikaze attacks ended only after Truman dropped two atomic bombs on Japan. I will repeat that. Kamikazes never act on their own. They are financed, they are trained, and they are supplied by governments. Kamikazes do not act on their own. Japan's kamikaze attacks ended only after we dropped two atomic bombs on their homeland.
Well, that's what was said on 9/11/2001 on my airwaves and my affiliates at the time. And I got to tell you something. What's really changed? Except that now we have defeatists in the White House ready to go to war to help our enemy itself. You heard me. We have defeatists in the White House, anti-war doves who are suddenly willing to bomb, not our friend by any means, but bomb to make certain that the world in Syria is safe for Al-Qaeda and related terrorist organizations.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Wait, the news gets better by the minute. I told you this is the last word in talk radio, right? This just came out minutes ago. This is not from this morning. This is from just now for tomorrow's edition of the New York Times, but published with the banner headline, A Plea for Caution from Russia. And guess who wrote it? Well, the credited person is Vladimir Putin, which means he wrote it. He had speechwriters write it. It's brilliant. September 11th, 2013, a plea for caution from Russia. I'm going to paraphrase what he just wrote, which will be in the New York Times. It's on their blog right now. Listen to what he says. Relations between us, meaning Russia and the U.S., have passed through different stages. We stood against each other during the Cold War, but we were also allies once and defeated the Nazis together. You hear this? Never forget that, by the way. I'm paraphrasing. Listen to what Putin said. He's reminding us that we were once allies and defeated the Nazis together. Incidentally, 400,000 Russians lost their lives in the last weeks of the war in World War II just to take in the final days of the battle for Berlin. 400,000 Russians died in that last battle. Do you know that? See, people don't know anything about the losses that Russia suffered in World War II. I happen to be an amateur student of history, and I know much of it, not all of it. So he goes on, he says, after we defeated the Nazis, the Universal International Organization, the UN, was established to prevent such devastation from ever happening again. And then he went on to the UN, and he says, no one wants the United Nations to suffer the fate of the League of Nations, which collapsed because it lacked real leverage. And he, you see, here's a leader who uses history, uses his knowledge of history, uses reason, instead of using idiotic, moronic American sound bites aimed at the dumbest element in America. The dumbest elements in America are who are being talked to by our leaders. But Putin doesn't do that. He goes into Syria now, and this is very important. He's trying to stop the war. He's trying to stop America from plunging us into a war. And he says, it could undermine multilateral efforts to resolve the Iranian nuclear problem, which he acknowledges, and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and further destabilize the Middle East and North Africa. It could throw the entire system of international law and order out of balance. Amen, Mr. Obama. Why don't you listen to this? Listen to what he says next. This is from Vladimir Putin tonight in the New York Times. Syria is not witnessing a battle for democracy, but an armed conflict between government and opposition in a multi-religious country. There are a few champions of democracy in Syria, but there are more than enough Qaeda fighters and extremists of all stripes battling the government. The United States State Department has designated Al-Nusra Front and the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant fighting with the opposition as terrorist organizations. This internal conflict, fueled by foreign weapons supplied to the opposition, is one of the bloodiest in the world. Now, here he goes. Maybe John Kerry ought to read this from Mr. Putin. Mercenaries from Arab countries fighting there and hundreds of militants from Western countries and even Russia are an issue of our deep concern. Might they not return to our countries with experience acquired in Syria? After all, fighting in Libya, extremists moved on to Mali. This threatens us all. Again, I'm reading a letter just published by Vladimir Putin. He goes on. From the outset, Russia has advocated peaceful dialogue, enabling Syrians to develop a compromise plan for their own future. He's asking the United Nations Security Council to be the manager here. He says the law is still a law, and we must follow it whether we like it or not. Under current international law, force is permitted only in self-defense or by the decision of the Security Council. Anything else is unacceptable under the UN Charter and would constitute an act of aggression. Mr. Obama, Mr. McCain, Mr. Kerry, is anyone listening to what he is saying? You will be war criminals if you launch a war in Syria, is what he's really saying. Now, I'll go back to Putin's words themselves. I'll quote him now. Here's what he said. No one doubts that poison gas was used in Syria, but there is every reason to believe it was used not by the Syrian army, but by opposition forces to provoke intervention by their powerful foreign patrons who would be siding with the fundamentalists. Reports that militants are preparing another attack, this time against Israel, cannot be ignored. Did you hear this? Well, you ought to read it yourself. And he's trying to argue against force. He's trying to argue for peace. He's trying to argue for the UN. He's trying to appeal to the warmongers in the White House and around him. It's from Vladimir Putin. It's an article that just came out in the opinion pages tonight, and it's on the top of the Drudge Report, which you can link to the New York Times. You just heard it first on the Savage Nation. Now, there's a lot of news I haven't gotten to. Remember you heard there was going to be a million Muslim march today in Washington? Well, there was a Muslim march. Unfortunately, it was a little bit short of a million people. In fact, it was short by 900. Let's say, put it this way. Do you know how many people showed up? 25 people. You think Muslims who were behind the march lied, including that bucktooth moron, Cornel West from Harvard? How did Cornel West get a teaching job at Harvard? Probably the same way Obama got into Harvard. Probably the same way Obama was made editor of the Harvard Review. Cornel West, he's one of the 25 Muslims who showed up today in the nation's capital for the Million Muslim March. But wait, it gets even better. The media has not yet shown you pictures of the tens of thousands of bikers who showed up to protest the Muslim March and to celebrate the military, celebrate and remember the dead from 9/11. Did you hear what I just said to you? Tens of thousands of motorcyclists are in Washington, D.C., not covered by the communist rats in the media, while the 25 Muslims who showed up were shot from close-ups in order to make it look much bigger. You're living through one of the greatest brainwashings in the history of the world. Leni Riefenstahl would have given probably her left arm to have the power that is granted right now by the leftist press in America. Goebbels probably would have given his right arm to have the power that the networks have together to shape public opinion. But guess what? They're not doing a very good job. Do you know why? Because the cat is out of the bag. Even the average American in the street interviewed today in New York by a Fox News reporter, when asked why we shouldn't go to war in Syria, said because we don't know who the opposition forces are, and they may be worse than Assad. So no matter what the media is doing. It's not working. Why? Because of the internet and because of talk radio. But hush, hush, keep it to yourself. Let's go to the callers now on the program, 855-400-7282. Let's go to Washington, D.C. on WMAL. Patience, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Oh, I love you so much. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I just wanted to touch on what you just said, and I've been looking on the internet to try to figure out who actually organized the Million Muslim March, and I did a little bit of research in how it first started, as a march because of the oppression of the Muslim people in the United States since 9/11.
Oh, poor Muslims. They're oppressed so terribly in America, aren't they?
Yeah, and Mike, what I wanted to say
But how many showed up? Was it close to a million?
Not even, but they didn't even make a million. You see our bikers, and the patriotic bikers came out there. They had 2 weeks of planning to organize this, and then D.C. stopped them without giving them the launch to be able to come into the city and be able to...
That's right. The Muslim sympathizers who worked for Barack Hussein Obama did not give the bikers a permit to come in the city, but they gave the 25 Muslims who say they represented a million Muslims not only a permit, but of course a loudspeaker as well. Well, that's what we're living in. Everything's upside down, Patience.
Absolutely. And I was never into politics before this second term, and then things just started to not feel right. It doesn't feel right that something like that was organized, and nothing was organized to actually honor the victims of 9/11 on the Mall. Nothing of any substantial value. I mean, we had something in Woodbridge where they're setting up a new memorial there, but nothing of any substantial value. So, and I wanted...
How is it that almost a couple of 100,000 bikers show up to rally for America, to rally for the military, to make us remember 9/11 and the victims of 9/11, and they're given no press whatsoever, while 25 ragtag Muslims show up, including the bucktooth rabble-rouser from Harvard, some professor who is no real professor in my estimation, 25 of them show up, and it's turned into something glorious for America's diversity. Let me tell you something, Patience, and I said it first 15 years ago, and I wrote it, and I stand by it. Whenever I hear the word diversity, I think perversity, because that's all it is. It's a front to jam the most, well, let me stop right there. Diversity is perversity. I'll use some phraseology of my own. And if we don't wake up to what they're doing to us, we're all going to be turned into the sheeple that they think we are. Patience, thanks for calling us from Washington, D.C. Tennessee, Helen, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I wanted to tell you that you're my number one from now on, and I concur with everything you've said. You had me in tears even the other day. You thought we were going to head for war. People have to start listening to you, and there are people out here that are listening to you. I'm really from...
Well, yes, in the Southeast, people listen to me, and of the millions of listeners I may have, I don't know the number, there are approximately 18 women who listen who are Savagettes. So you may be one amongst the 18 women who listen to the show.
I'm on your Facebook.
If you got to join the conversation about any of the topics we're talking about, that's the number. I want to play a soundbite for you that you can't miss. It's not only McCain to Kerry about the girl's false lies about the Syrian opposition. She was fired tonight. She has no PhD. I want you to listen to McCain, because as far as I'm concerned, for this lunatic to take what this faker wrote and read it as though it's the Holy Grail and use it as an excuse to go to war against Assad means that McCain is a clear and present danger to America, means that he committed crimes and misdemeanors, means that he's either senile or worse, and he should be removed from office immediately. Listen to clip two.
The jihadists pouring into Syria from countries like Iraq and Lebanon are not flocking to the front lines. Instead, they are concentrating their efforts on consolidating control in the northern rebel-held areas of the country.
Liar.
Moderate opposition forces, a collection of groups known as the Free Syrian Army, continue to lead the fight against the Syrian regime.
Liar.
While traveling with some of these Free Armies, Syrian Army battalions, I've watched them defend Alawi and Christian villages government forces and extremist groups.
They've
demonstrated
fraud.
A willingness to submit to civilian authority.
Working closely
with local administrative councils.
You lying faker,
to ensure that their fight against Assad will pave the way
for Russian
civil society.
You know, this man doesn't deserve a scintilla of respect. A bar drunk would deserve more respect than John McCain. A drunk in a bar would deserve more respect than John McCain. His father was a great admiral. His grandfather, if I'm not mistaken, was, I know he was an admiral, but he was a fleet commander. This guy is the black sheep of the McCain family. He was last in his class at Annapolis, and he is absolutely dangerous. He's out of control. You know what he was just saying? Do you know where he got it from? He got it from a girl who was just fired today for saying she had a real PhD when she didn't. She was fired, yet what she wrote was picked up by the geniuses at the Wall Street Journal, another great reliable source. By the way, they also have a black eye today. Why would they publish that fraud? Huh? Why would they publish a fraudulent article put out by this girl with a fake PhD? The Wall Street Journal should be ashamed of themselves. If you think that they're a reliable source, you better think again. It's owned by Murdoch. Okay, Moloch owns an awful lot of things that are putting out lies everywhere you turn. So don't sit there and say, oh, Fox News and the Wall Street Journal are my friends. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe truth, maybe not the truth. Moloch, 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 Moloch. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I want to show you what a moron McCain is. It's not that you think he's a moron. He is a moron. I want you to listen to clip three in a minute. He's talking to John Kerry, and I don't think anyone else in radio got this but my guys from C-SPAN. He's talking to Kerry, and he says, do you agree with Dr. Obeghi's assessment of the Syrian opposition? Now, it turns out that Dr. Obeghi is not a doctor. She has no credibility. She has no objectivity. She has no Ph.D. She is a lobbyist, apparently, for the opposition. We don't even know which element of the opposition, fighting Assad. And Georgetown confirmed today that she has no Ph.D. She's not even a registered student. But I want you to listen to a senator, one of the most powerful men in the world, who's about to launch us into war, in clip three, talking to John Kerry.
John, do you agree with Dr. Obeghi's assessment of the opposition?
I agree with most of that. They have changed significantly. They've improved. And as I said earlier, the fundamentals of Syria are...
This, what I just played for you, two of the most powerful men in the world, McCain and John Kerry, who are making a case for war at a time when the world is at, the Middle East is a tinderbox, who have been taken in by a fake scholar, no PhD, works for the opposition forces as a lobbyist, apparently. For them to have been taken in like this are grounds for removal from office. If we had a civil society, if we had an opposition party, if mechanisms were really in place to remove incompetent or treasonous individuals from the body politic, the removal procedures would have begun already on McCain and Kerry just for this. This is not talking about, let's say, an opinion on Obamacare that was based on a fake PhD. This is not talking about something trivial. They are basing a decision to go to war and bomb a nation and take a side that could lead to World War III based upon a woman who has no degree, no PhD, and they're calling her Dr. Obeghi. Now, I told you this is a very sensitive topic to me because I have a real PhD, and I'll remind you of it, whether you like it or not, from a great university. I killed myself to earn it and to get it, and my dissertation was published in its entirety as a book, which among scholars is a big deal. I also earned my PhD in a record time in 3 years. You may not know any of this. You may think it doesn't matter. Well, it matters to me, and it should matter to you because my credibility is rock solid. Usually what I say when I'm not joking around, if I'm joking, you know when I'm joking, but when I make statements, they're validated by the facts that are on the table. And the fact of the matter is I am disrespected not only by the illegitimate in the Democrat Party, I am disrespected by the Republican Party, I'm disrespected by the American media, and yet I have a fanatical following. How is that possible? Well, Abe Lincoln said it. You can fool some of the people some of the time, and you can fool some of the people all the time, but you can't fool the savages any of the time. It's that simple. The savages any of the time. Read your Brave New World, and you'll see who the savage was. Let's pray it doesn't end the way Brave New World ended with us on a reservation. But if this keeps up, if this keeps up and if we become the savages in a nation of slaves, God only knows what the future holds for any of us. Let's put it to you that way. I have other sound. I don't know if I have the time for the Nancy Pelosi parody. I doubt it. I think I should save it for the next hour. We're going to welcome a new station at the top of the next hour. It's a very exciting moment. All of my stations are like friends to me, but I'm going back on the air tonight live on WRKO in Boston. They've been waiting for me to return to the airwaves. Things have never been the same in Boston since I left. And we'll welcome new friends when we return on the Savage Nation, which continues to grow by the day. Here's a new story to show you that Russia is very serious. While Putin talks peace and says, let's go to the UN, this just came out from the Russian media. Russia's carrier killer, Moskva, enters the Mediterranean. Russia's Moskva missile cruiser, dubbed a carrier killer by NATO, has passed through the Straits of Gibraltar and is now heading toward the eastern Mediterranean to assume command of the Russian naval force there. The Russian Navy just said in a statement that the Moskva cruiser passed through the Straits of Gibraltar. Interfax news agency added that the Moskva cruiser, commanded by Sergei Tronev, captain first rank of the guards. You know, this is interesting that the Russians would actually take pride in their commanders to the point that they named them. Compare that to the nameless, faceless heroes in the American military who have to suffer the degradation and humiliation foisted upon them by these empty suits and filthy skirts in the U.S. government. These empty suits and filthy skirts in the U.S. government spit on the military, and now that they need them to be their hatchet and their tomahawks and their warmongers, suddenly they love the military. What a world we're living in. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be back in a few minutes to take your calls right here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. Talk loudly and carry a limp stick is what Obama will probably be remembered for. At least I hope so. I'd rather he not bomb Syria. Did you hear what happened today? The lying woman that McCain and Kerry relied upon, who said she had a real PhD from Georgetown, was fired today because she has no PhD. She's not even registered at Georgetown. It did not stop dummy McCain and lying Kerry from citing her article as an excuse for backing the so-called rebels in Syria. This is very serious business because it means that they're relying upon lobbyists for the opposition forces to set U.S. policy. So that means McCain, Kerry, God knows who else, were relying upon this Dr. Obagi, who's not even a doctor. I mean, it's like calling a podiatrist a doctor and asking him to perform brain surgery. I mean, I have nothing against podiatrists from the Bronx, but the fact of the matter is they shouldn't perform brain surgery. Well, this woman is being cited. Well, you know something? Let me play it for you in a minute. At the same time, I want to welcome WRKO, a new affiliate. It's actually a new old affiliate in Boston, Massachusetts. I was on that station for years in a different time slot. The people clamored to have me back because they want me. I was on Howie Carr's show today, who is their drive time guy. Howie's an old veteran, a great guy, and he had me on today. I'll be on Jeff Kuhner's show this week as well. He's on in the morning. And if you're from WRKO listening to Michael Savage all over again, and I'm live right now, and you're lucky enough to get through the call screener at 855-407-282. We'll give you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. And while you're all listening, I want you to listen to the idiot McCain in clip 3 talking to none other than John Kerry.
John, do you agree with Dr. Obagi's assessment of the opposition?
I agree with most of that. They have changed significantly. They've improved. And as I said earlier, the fundamentals of Syria are secular, and I believe will stay that way.
And I think it's very important to point out again, as you just said, it's a secular state. They would reject radical Islamists, and they, in some cases,
right here. This is the lie. They sound like a tag team in an ad selling us on global warming while the Arctic ice cap increases in size by 70%. I mean, it's the McCain-Kerry vaudeville act talking about the peace-loving opposition forces in Syria. So now let's listen to the lout, McCain, again talking. By both of them should be impeached for what they're saying. Basing going to war on a lying girl from Georgetown? McCain to Kerry in clip four.
So when we see these commentators say, well, we don't know which side will win, we don't know who the bad guys are, if you agree with this assessment, we certainly know who the bad guys are. Is that correct?
I believe we do for the most part.
Okay. For the most part. I believe we do. Covering his back again. Old Kerry covering his behind. I believe we do. A classic Obama statement. Not we do or we don't. I believe we do. I believe we do. Ooh, I believe we do. Well, the person they were relying upon, Dr. Obagi, it turns out is no doctor, number one. And she's not a scholar. But her writings on Syria, which were published in Rupert Moloch's Wall Street Journal, were relied upon by McCain and Kerry as a prelude to war. I mean, this is serious business. If we had legitimate historians, this would go down as a blemish in the history of American governance. Write that down. It's a good line. America, I like governance. It's a nice word. It's something I would have heard in social studies. Governance. It's a big word. All right, let's take some callers now on the Savage Nation. Jim on WABC, you're really angry at me for some reason. Why are you mad?
Well, I'm mad, Mr. Savage, because I cannot believe that you could stand there, or sit there, rather, in front of your microphone, or get on your pulpit, and speak about an American hero like John McCain in the way that you do. Now, I'm not...
Wait a minute, sir, let's stop for a minute. No one is denying he suffered, and no one has denied that he was an American hero. Does that make him above the law? If he ran a traffic light, should a cop say, sir... Oh, you're John McCain, I'll let you go?
No, but that's...
Well, all right, so wait. So if he ran a traffic light and a cop said, let me see your license and registration, and he says, I'm John McCain, should the cop say, I salute you because you were injured in the war and you're a hero?
No.
So by the same analysis, must I accept his idiotic commentary as the Holy Grail?
No, you don't have to accept his idiotic commentary as anything. And while his commentary may be idiotic, sir, I still believe that you should give him the respect that he deserves.
He deserves the jeers I'm giving him, not respect.
He says.
He doesn't deserve anything but jeers. The man should be impeached for what he's trying to drag us into war. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That it's way beyond this idiot from Arizona. Jim. He's trying to drag us into war based upon a lobbyist who works for the al-Qaeda elements of the Syrian opposition. Jim, it's a nightmare.
I agree with that.
All right, good. I'm glad we agree. As my father's store, his little store, had a little sign. Don't go away, mayor, just go away. That's all. A little sign in his little store. Don't go away, mayor, just go away. Carrie on WABC, you're on the program. What's on your mind?
I am hospital police, and I'm not
usually... Wait, I'm sorry. Well, hold it. Ho. Start again. You're what?
What's that?
I didn't hear what you said. You're something from the east?
I said I am in Manhattan, and I'm a hospital police. I'm with...
Ah, okay. Okay, and what are we talking about?
I'm talking about... I was... First time in my life I've ever agreed with you.
On what issue did I break through to you?
Well, okay, I'll tell you what. You broke through to me on John McCain. It's not that I disagree. I think he's a hero and everything. But John McCain and Lindsey Graham had disturbed me no end. I did not want to go into this war. But I also think that Putin would not have written that letter to the New York Times, and Assad would not have gone on Charlie Rose if it hadn't been for the threat of Obama sending in military. Because nobody...
Wait, hold it. Oh, wait a minute. So now Obama's responsible for those actions? Are you kidding? You're basically repeating the Democrat Party line. That's utter nonsense.
Threatening to go in, and he said he was going in before he stopped and decided to go to Congress.
Oh, that's nonsense. Obama was playing golf on Saturday. He's told what to say. You should know, as an intelligent woman, you've seen every kind of con in the world. If you're in hospitals and you're a police person in a hospital, what game have you not seen played?
What game have I not seen? Oh, I've seen everything, but I know one thing.
All right, so let's be realists together. We don't have to end this conversation agreeing with each other or hating each other. Do you actually believe Obama's a great war leader? Truly in your heart?
I do.
All right, well, you're welcome to your opinion. I just pray to God, well, I'll stop right there. 855-407-2822 is the phone number. At least we agreed on something, that McCain is an idiot. But do you understand the bigger picture here? That they were relying upon a woman who they called Dr. Obeigi. And it came out she was not a doctor, not a PhD. She was simply a flack for the opposition forces. And her editorial was published in the Wall Street Journal, as I said. Again, she gulled the folks who work for Rupert Murdoch, got the editorial published. Here I've written, 28 books. I have a legitimate doctorate from a great university. I've been on the radio for 19 and a half years, and the Wall Street Journal won't even mention my name, but Dr. Obeigi, oh, yeah. Dr. Obeigi, the warmongers and the immigrant lovers at the Wall Street Journal. If you think the Wall Street Journal is conservative, you're crazy. You ought to read their editorials. They're a bunch of war-hungry, immigrant-loving, when I say immigrant, I mean illegal immigrant-loving public relations people. So don't tell me the Wall Street Journal is a conservative newspaper. It's far from it. But based upon that editorial, which appeared from Dr. Obeigi, McCain and Kerry were ready to drop bombs on Damascus. You understand how serious this is? Okay, look, we can move on. There's other stuff to do and to talk about. We can leaven it up a bit. there's another big story. The Million Muslim March today in Washington, 25 of the lunatics showed up, including that lunatic from Harvard, another prize, Cornel West. Cornel West, the smirking Cornel West, and his 24 henchmen were at the Million Muslim March, and they're covered by the media as some authorities, while tens of thousands of bikers show up to support America, and they're not even covered by Tom Brokaw and his cohorts in the American media. Tom Brokaw and his clones, let's put it that way. The empty skirts in the media. WRKO, Boston, Massachusetts. You're actually a historic caller. You're the first up tonight on the New Savage Nation. Andrew, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Oh, well, good to hear you out here in Boston, first of all. And I just wanted to ask you if you think that the Obama administration is going to use a false flag to justify this war.
Well, what do you mean by a false flag? You mean like the use of sarin gas by Assad, which A, it was not sarin, and B, we don't know who used the gas? That's a big false flag, right?
Oh, absolutely, and I think...
Oh, yeah, I've said it. You see, I haven't been on RKO for a while, but I've been saying for a week, they've already set the targets. They've already decided to divide Syria. They've already loaded the bombs onto the planes and the cruise missiles into the tubes. They're going to go to war no matter what anyone says, because that's what they've decided to do, or that's what their controllers decided for them to do. Yes, I believe they're going to go to war. I absolutely believe it. No matter what Putin says or does, no matter what Assad says or does, no matter what the UN says or does, no matter what the American people say or do, no matter what Congress says or does, Obama will go to war. That's my prediction.
I completely agree.
In other words, he's going to say, well, we gave them time to turn over the chemical weapons, but they were just stalling. They're not doing it. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am Barack Obama, and in my imperial, majestic way, I have decided that the bomb shall fly. Get ready for some video games on your TV as innocent Syrians go up in smoke. I'm sending you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny because you're the first caller from WRKO. I'll take a break. I'll feed my little dog, Teddy, some water and some kibble, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We're going to go back to the war talk in a minute. I think you're burned out on the war talk, by the way. I get a feeling that you've heard it, you can't take it anymore, and you've moved on. That's my instinct. But before I move on, I want to refer to an article from the 4th of September, which I quoted at that time right here on the Savage Nation. And here it is from the worldtribune.com, Yosef Bodansky. Mounting evidence raises questions about Syrian chemical weapon attack. Let me just hit the highlights. There is a growing volume of new evidence from numerous sources in the Middle East, mostly affiliated with the Syrian opposition and its sponsors and supporters, which makes a very strong case based on solid circumstantial evidence that the August 21 chemical strike in the Damascus suburbs was indeed a premeditated provocation by the Syrian opposition. The extent of U.S. foreknowledge of this provocation needs further investigation because available data puts the horror of the Barack Obama White House in a different and disturbing light. And then he goes into the possible collusion with elements in the U.S. government itself who knew it was coming. But I don't want to go into this right now. What's important in this article is the fact that the Doctors Without Borders group, which is a very left-wing organization, reported they were treating the victims. And they say they treated more than 3,600 Syrians, and 355 of them died. Their number is 355. Obama's number, Kerry's number, McCain's number, mainstream media's number is 1,500. But that's not the important point. Even a few deaths would be serious. Here's the important point. The Doctors Without Borders performed tests on the vast majority of those gassed. MSF Director of Operations Bard Johnson summed up the findings, quote, "Doctors Without Borders can neither scientifically confirm the cause of the symptoms nor establish who is responsible for the attack, but they don't believe that they were exposed to sarin. MSF failed to confirm that sarin was the cause of the injuries," failed to confirm. According to MSF, the cause of the injuries could have been nerve agents like sarin or concentrated riot control gas or even high concentration pesticides. Moreover, opposition reports that there was distinct stench during the attack suggest that it could have come from the kitchen sarin used by jihadist groups. This is distinct from the odorless military-type sarin, or even from improvised agents like pesticides. Now, there's much more to the article. I should get it back up on my website. Mounting evidence raises questions about Syrian chemical weapon attack, Yosef Budansky, World Tribune. But let's jump now to something a little lighter, and that is a parody of Nancy Pelosi that came out today, and it was published in the, I saw an alert about it by Carla Marinucci in the San Francisco Chronicle, and it says, comedy alert, Nancy Pelosi sings the healthcare blues in a web parody, and here's what she writes. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, I'm running out of time already, she's ridiculed in this report, by the way, and it's from Capitol Steps, a well-known D.C.-based comedy troupe. Nancy Pelosi is made fun of, finally. The Queen is taken on. Because, finally, people understand Obamacare is a disaster. Listen to the parody of Pelosi singing.
Round like a circle that is forming, made of television ads. More and more I see the warning of conditions I might have. I have countless new disorders that have finally been revealed. I have dry eyes, spastic bladder, and that one with Sally Field. I take drugs for every syndrome. I'm like a powder keg. When I kick my spouse at bedtime, now I claim it's restless leg. If your health is in decline, just take 10 pills and you're fine. Like the lithium I'm taking with a dose of estrogen mixed with Demerol and Prozac.
Yeah,
now
Nancy.
I've got hair on my chin.
Yeah, Nancy.
Sun's on Ritalin and Bextra.
We thought
he had ADD, but it turns out that the whole time he is just an SOB.
Let's pause right here, because what you're listening to, finally, the Queen is being taken on by the left itself. The ever-smiling Botox Nancy Pelosi and her cohorts have finally hit their Waterloo when they are now being made fun of by leftist comedy troops. The world, my friends, goes round and round. Round and round it goes.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
One of the most astonishing figures in Washington, in addition to John McCain, is Nancy Pelosi, a woman who has posed as an anti-war activist her whole life to hoodwink the fools in the San Francisco area. A woman who is perhaps the richest woman who pretends to be a member of the Occupy movement. A woman who continues to astonish in her foolishness, just last week channeling her granddaughter in an alleged conversation where she talked to her about whether she should go to war or not. Well, apparently, a group called Capital Steps, a well-known D.C. comedy troupe, which often skewers public figures left and right, has done a parody of her. Finally, they cannot take any more of her game, I suppose. You know, game is up. And that's because 57% of people in a CNN poll oppose Obamacare, with just 39% in favor. If CNN is saying it's 60-40, that means it's 80-20, oppose Obamacare. And yet it was House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi with the big hammer who lied to the American people, cajoled the American people, bribed people, pushed people around. When I say bribe, let me be very clear. Bought the favor of various and sundry in Congress. You know that, and I know that, that's how business is done. The people didn't vote on this. They didn't even know what they were getting. But even Politico reports that a new poll today shows a majority of Americans now oppose most or all of the proposals in Obamacare. It's spiking. So here's the parody of Nancy Pelosi on The Savage Nation.
Round like a circle that is forming, made of television ads. More and more I see the warning of conditions I might have. I have countless new disorders that have finally been revealed. I have dry eyes, spastic bladder, and that one with Sally Field. I take drugs for every syndrome. I'm like a powder keg. When I kick my spouse at bedtime, now I claim it's restless leg. If your health is in decline, just take 10 pills and you're fine. Like the lithium I'm taking with a dose of estrogen, mixed with Demerol and Prozac, now I've got hair on my chin. Son's on Ritalin and Bextra, we thought he had ADD, but it turns out that the whole time he is just an SOB. I need Ambien Lunestra to help me sleep all right, 'cause Levitra and Cialis keep my husband up all night.
It's not bad. It's Catskill level.
If your life's as bad as mine, at least 10 pills come to mind. Lasix, Gruex, Metamucil, Celebrex, and Neprosin. Then I take a few Vitorin that I wash down with some gin. Now my ears are always ringing. I think Lipitor's to blame.
Oh my God.
There's no reason that I take it. I just really like the name. I mix lidocaine with highballs, and the side effects were queer. I was hearing through my eyeballs, and I'm tasting through my rear.
Good stuff.
And that giant nose of Clevertin is something I must try. And I take ginkgo biloba, but can't remember why. So I quit those pills cold turkey. It was all a big mistake. And I swear there is no supplement or medicine I'll take. And though lately I have found, though depressed and feeling down, thanks to Botox, I can't frown.
Oh, Nancy, the queen has no clothes. Well, it's not comedy to most Americans because their policies have increased like 40 to 70%. They don't like the Affordable Health Care Act because it's not affordable. It was pushed by a bunch of gangsters on the American people simply to push drugs and procedures that nobody needs. It's a nightmare, and everybody knows it. And Pelosi owns it. And that's why she's parodied in this parody called Take 10 Pills and You're Fine. I think you heard it first here on the Savage Nation, courtesy of the SF Gate website where I found it before the show. And I assume it'll be on many radio shows tomorrow. I try to do a little comedy break from the war talk because there's a limit to how much we can all take of it when we see it's all a fake, when we see that it's based upon frauds from McCain to Kerry to Obama to, you name it, Lindsey Graham, all based upon fraudulent scholarship that doesn't exist. Turns out that the woman they were basing it upon is no PhD. She's not a scholar. She's a lobbyist for the opposition forces. God knows who she really works for. And again, welcome to the RKO listeners from Boston tonight, where I reappear live after, I guess, a year's gap of some kind. Let's go to RKO in Boston. Brenda, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Michael. I just wanted to welcome you back to the WRKO airwaves. We've missed you out here. I know I've missed you. You had that slot at supper time for me, so when I'd be cleaning up from the dinner time, I would enjoy your banter. I would enjoy your inspiration. I would enjoy...
Well, I know. It was inherited by somebody else who got very lucky when I left radio, but now I'm in this slot, and thank God you're still up.
Well, you know what? This is a little bit getting close to my bedtime on the East Coast. I hit the 50 last year, so I get a little tired. But
you know, I love your accent. You sound like Ray Donovan's wife in the series Ray Donovan. Are you watching that on TV?
Excuse me?
Have you watched the series Ray Donovan on Showtime?
You know what? I don't have Showtime. So what?
Well, your accent is so Boston. It's just like hers. It's amazing.
Do I pack the car or what?
You pack the car. Well, you know, one of my favorite actors in the world is in Ray Donovan, and we're going to get him on the show one of these days. He plays the father of the Ray Donovan clan, and he's just wonderful. He just trumps everybody. But the accents are amazing, the Boston accents. It's just amazing. Maybe that's why you like me, because I have such a great Boston brogue.
We love to say ahs up here. We love to say our ahs, but again...
You know that I once lived in Marblehead?
Well, I'm about two cities away from Marblehead. I could get to Marblehead in 10 minutes.
How do you put up with John Kerry in Boston? How is that possible? Put up with a man like this who quotes a faker from Georgetown who doesn't have a PhD as the whole source for his rationale for bombing Syria? How does he stay in office?
Because we now have an Indian that has now
the one who said she had Indian heritage and didn't, another one from Harvard.
That is Harvard. We have a fake Indian, so it can be very interesting living in this state, especially when you're a independent conservative who loves her country and you have to deal with the phonies.
Oh my God. Well, it's worth staying up to hear you. I'm glad I'm still up. As promised, I want to send you, as a savage, a free copy of my great book, Trickle Down Tyranny. Teddy says hello. Woof, woof. Stay on the line. We'll send it out to you. Thank you very much for calling. 855-407-2282. Harold takes a different opinion than mine on Syria. Let's hear his view. He wants to bomb. Harold, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Well, thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I've listened to your show for a number of years. I generally agree with you on many things that you have said, but I think in this particular opinion, you're a little short-sighted here. I'll give you my reasoning for it, and you could take it any way you want. First of all, I was enjoying anything that insults Nancy Pelosi as a doctor, and I got to tell you that I can appreciate that song.
All right, fine. But on the Syria thing, you heard today that the Obama war advisor, the so-called doctor, whatever her name was fired because, she had no doctorate. She turns out to be a lobbyist for the opposition forces. And her article was the basis upon which McCain and Kerry are saying we should trust the rebels. you're a doctor. You can understand data. I mean, when it's fraudulent data, you don't make a decision and don't back off from it when you find that it's all fake.
Her data, I really don't care about. I didn't know who she was, and I don't think it really, really matters.
Well, wait, but hold it. The Syrian researcher who's been selling the big lie that the opposition are all moderates with only a few dangerous elements involved, she's a faker.
Fine. Whether she's moderate or not, or whether those opposition people are really moderate or not, is not really the main point of the equation here. From
okay.
the standpoint and from the point of the international political situation.
First, all right, well, hold it. So you're saying it doesn't matter even if the opposition is all terrorist or partly terrorist, you think we should take Assad out as your position, but tell us why.
Mike, I'll tell you why. Look, you know, you have a right to disagree with America. I'm a veteran. I was an Army commander for a while. I worked with special ops. I was a military surgeon, so I have some experience. I'm not a total moron.
Okay, but that's all wonderful. We respect you, but how can you back bombing Assad? For what reason?
Let me tell you why. I'll tell you why. Okay. First of all, you know, I've listened to a couple of military experts on and stuff that I have actually come through from military publications like Jane's Defense Weekly or listening to people from War College and things of that nature. They really understand things a little bit, and of course Israeli intel and the Israeli military. They understand things from a different perspective than the way you do. And your analysis is spot on from the way you see it. And I'm not going to disagree with you. Yeah, this girl from Georgetown, probably an idiot, her PhD's a phony. You went through, you got a real PhD, so I got my doctorate degree. You know, I know what it takes to do this kind of thing. You obviously know what it takes to get through this type of hardship. So, you know, we take it a little...
Wait, sir, you still have not made one salient point as to why we should bomb Assad.
Let me tell you why. I'll tell you why. Here's the whole reason.
You've been saying you're going to tell us why, and you haven't.
All right, if you'll let me just try to get this point across. The Russian military... If you compare the Russian military now, and I was in Europe at the time, I did some work for the when I was in the military.
Right, so what are you saying? The Russian military is weak, so we should go to war?
No. Yeah, well, let me explain to you why. The Russian military is not what it was during the 80s.
But, sir, you haven't given one. Let's say there are people listening to the show in the numbers of hundreds of thousands at this time. The AQH is high on the show. They're saying, who is this guy? And he hasn't made one point yet as to why we should bomb Assad. I'm still waiting.
We should bomb Assad for two major reasons. One is that the two villains in the Syria right now are the Russians who are feeding the Syrians, Hezbollah, who's on the other side of Israel and Lebanon, and Hamas, which is on the other side of Israel and Gaza. Those are the real terrorists that are out there. Whoever wants to say whatever they want about the other group, he says, what's their real danger that they can pose other than terrorist attacks? Until of being actually being a serious military threat. We know that if the American military, and they may not do it, and that's why you may be very well be right, if Obama launches a campaign where he sends in stealth fighters, takes out the Syrian air defense systems, which he can do, if he was smart enough to understand what he wants to do, and if he then sends in a couple of cruise missiles and then allows the U.S. Air Force with its A-10s and its...
But so in other words, you're saying we should do it, but you haven't said why, other than you think Assad and Putin are the real devils, and the opposition may be devils, but they're smaller devils. Is that your main point?
Now, the point is this. We will weaken the Russians. And what we will also do is stop the conduit of the ability. That's what the Israelis understand.
Wait, you just said something that's amazing. We will weaken the Russians as though they're our enemy. The Russians are now our enemy? After so many years of peace with Russia, you would like to see them become our enemy, a new Cold War?
There's not going to be a new Cold War because the Russians will back down. The second the V-2 bomb...
Well, you don't know that that's true. They've just moved major... naval assets into the area, including a carrier killer, which I hope our Navy can take care of and sink. I'm on our side. But don't you see the escalation that's going on because of Obama's reckless war talk?
The point is, you are overrating the Russian capability.
No, I'm not. I don't want to see a war is the issue. I don't want to see Russian boys die and American boys die because Obama's ego is at stake.
Maybe you're right. Obama's ego is definitely escaped. He is definitely not doing this for the proper reasons. That's not even a question.
Okay, but you haven't given a proper reason other than you'd like to degrade Russia's military, which will start a new Cold War, which I think is a terrible reason.
It's not going to be a war. But right now you have a situation where you are allowing the bad guys to dictate the order of battle. That's not something that any military commander would allow to happen. If we take out their air defense systems, we will then allow Syria to become an area which is not dominated by Russian influences. They will not be able to send in the arms and ship the arms to Hezbollah and then Hamas. Both.
So what you're saying is certainly true, and it would be beneficial to Israel if America became its Hessian force once again, which is what I have seen from the beginning of this entire sad debate. It seems to me Israel's hawks are pushing Obama, which is quite a turnaround, isn't it?
No, Israeli's hawks are not backing Obama because they have any respect for Obama at all.
Well, they must have respect for his military because they want him to go to war for them.
It's like 3%. 3% of the Israelis in Israel, especially, and then let's not hear what goes on in the West Bank, have any support for Obama whatsoever. He is.
But it's Israel that wants us to go to war against Assad because they fear his air force. That's been my analysis, which is they're using the pretext of the gassing of the innocent civilians. By the way, who do you think gassed the civilians, since the UN says they don't know?
I'll tell you right now, there's no question in my mind that Assad gassed them.
Well, there's no question in your mind. But there's a question in the mind of the United Nations. How is that possible?
Why, Mike? Do you know why? Because the elements of any of the opposition groups do not have any of the missiles or artillery shells that are capable of loading them with the.
Well, I beg your pardon, but they weren't fired. They were not necessarily fired by artillery. Did you hear my reference to the article by Yosef Badansky in the World Tribune, Mounting Evidence Raises Questions About Syrian Chemical Weapon Attack?
They can be fired by artillery.
Yeah, but they can also be distributed and disseminated without artillery. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, I think what the initiative from the Russians has done is said to the has given the president a victory because it has taken it has recognized that for 2.5 years the president
Turn it off. This is beyond belief. The pill pusher, Nancy Pelosi. It's a victory for Obama that the Russians are about to moving in naval ships, threatening war, supplying anti-aircraft batteries to Iran. This is a victory for the Democrats, you hear? This is your peace party. This is your peace party. The party of love and peace. Love and peace. Just do it. Why not do it in the road? If it feels good, do it in the road. I'm on your side. Unbelievable to me. Meanwhile, the Syria researcher, whose Wall Street Journal op-ed piece was used by Kerry and McCain, during congressional hearings about bringing in the military, was fired today from the Institute for the Study of War for lying about having a PhD. You hear? Ms. Elizabeth Obagi does not, in fact, have a PhD degree from Georgetown University, the Institute said in a statement. As far as I am concerned, McCain and Kerry should be forced to resign and step down from their positions. Why? If they can be duped by a PR flack posing as a PhD from Georgetown, tell me what else they can be duped by. Tell me who else they are being duped by. Tell me who else they are in the employ of. Tell me if you have trust in a government that relies upon a fake article put out by a fake PhD who never even went to the university for that degree. My friends, it's the Savage Nation, another big hour across America. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, here we are, September 11th, 2013, hour number three of the Savage Nation. September 11th, and here's a night after the president tries to sell a new war, telling us Assad is Hitler, and that he ordered a chemical attack of sarin gas. It just came out minutes ago. Are you ready for this? They're saying that the United States cannot prove Assad ordered a chemical attack. What else is on MichaelSavage.com? What else are we talking about? Well, the Muslim Million March, 25 Muslims showed up. I swear to God, 25 Muslims showed up while the 2 million bikers rally blocked Washington, D.C. You didn't see any of this on the news, did you? They made the 25 Muslims look like a million, and they made the million bikers look like 25. You're living in an upside-down world. But we know what America is. We know who it is. By the way, in this hour, we welcome WRKO in Boston, Massachusetts. I have fond memories of living in Marblehead, Massachusetts during a winter of my content when I commuted to the Harvard Botanical Museum to attend to my plant collections. Welcome to WRKO. And if you're listening from WRKO, along with my other listeners here on the Savage Nation, if you get on the line, a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny goes out to you. Meanwhile, on the Syria issue, talk loudly and carry a limp stick is Obama's motto. We've gone from Teddy Roosevelt, who said, I think he said, walk softly and carry a big stick. We have a booming voice who talks loudly and carries a limp stick. Yeah, he called for a timeout in the middle of a Super Bowl game. Oh, God, it's terrible. I'm not happy. I'm an American. Meanwhile, again, I have to repeat, 25 people showed up for the Million Muslim March, while a million people showed up for the Bikers March against the Muslims. Yeah, okay. Russia's carrier killer enters the Mediterranean. It's awful. Take a look at the picture of... I mean, I hope our ships can sink them. Let me be clear. Here's some good news. The Colorado Democrat communists, who were into gun control and pushed it, they lost a recall election the first time in Colorado history. The Colorado voters went to the polls and stunned the political liars and the pollsters and everyone else, and they threw out Democrat Senator President John Morse and State Senator Angela Giron. Their seats were thrown out. They were thrown out and replaced. Did you hear that? Why? The double recall shock ran through state Democrats who had insisted voters would back the legislature's recently passed gun bills. Hooray for America. Now, before I do anything else, let me give you my phone number, 855-407-282. That's the Savage Nation. The woman behind the case for the Syria strike has been fired for lying. This is the woman who McCain and Kerry quoted as a prelude to war. Can you believe this? The disgraced researcher who Obama, Kerry, and McCain used to tell us that the opposition in Syria are all good guys and not to worry about them. She looks like Mata Hari, acts like Mata Hari, talks like Mata Hari, and also claimed a fake PhD. This fraud, Elizabeth Obeigi, presented herself as a PhD from Georgetown, and as a result, that moron McCain and that slack-jawed moron Kerry cited her research as to why we should go in and take out Assad. She was fired today because she has no PhD. Can you believe this? Now, if you look into this story, it gets even worse. And I've heard this all of my life. She says, oh, I passed my oral exams and I'm just waiting to be approved for my PhD. Well, it came out this afternoon that Georgetown said she was not currently registered. She said that she defended her dissertation at Georgetown, but still waiting for the university to confer the degree. Georgetown told Fox News today that this liar had received her undergraduate degree and master's there, but was not currently registered. And this is a fraud. Now, why is it important to you? Because John Kerry and John McCain cited her testimony as a prelude to war and why we should trust the Syrian opposition. You got to listen to clip number one. I don't know if you heard this today, but my crack staff dug up Kerry and McCain talking about this fraudulent lead from this girl. Listen.
John, over the weekend, the Wall Street Journal ran an important op-ed by Dr. Elizabeth Obeigi. I hope you saw it. A Syria analyst at the Institute for the Study of War spent a great deal of time inside Syria, including just this month, and I want to read her assessment
you
of the situation on the ground. And I
you
quote the story.
Idiot. You're ashamed to the McCain name.
The wisdom holds that the extremist elements are completely mixed in with the more moderate rebel groups. This isn't the case. Moderates and extremists wield control over distinct territory. Contrary to many media accounts, the war in Syria is not being waged entirely or even predominantly by dangerous Islamist and Al-Qaeda diehards.
Now, that's John McCain, the dumbest man in the history of Annapolis, ashamed to the McCain family lineage. His father was a great admiral. His grandfather was a great commander. And this one is like the dumb sheep in the family. John McCain, we are cursed with as one of the worst people in the history of the U.S. Senate, a warmonger, but now a lunatic, who frankly should be removed for senility. He believes what this fraudulent PhD wrote and cites this and tells it to the golfer in the White House? All right, look, it gets worse by the day. You know, I read a little blog comment this morning by a gentleman I never met named Robert Taylor, and he wrote this in one of the blogs. He said, the U.S. builds international relations through bribes, kickbacks, and threats. The pattern was set with Washington's interactions with the North American Indians. In his dealings with the indigenous nations, bribes were offered, treaties broken, and military threats were carried out. You just described how foreign affairs has been carried out since the beginning of civilization. Read Machiavelli, Hobbes, Locke, or Samuel Huntington, and stop being brainwashed by idealistic utopian notions of how foreign affairs should be. Foreign affairs is the state of nature. That's why it is usually messy and imperfect. I thought that was so well written. Another host would have ripped it off and said that they came up with it themselves. But since I'm a scholar by training, I'll tell you who wrote it, and I did. New report just came out from the United Nations. It just came out on Drudge, which is that they can't confirm who did the gas attack. They have no idea who did the gas attack. They will not confirm or deny that it was Assad. It's the headline on the Drudge report right now. Again, war drums are still being beaten. UN circumstantial case, period. It's that simple. U.S. can't prove Assad ordered chemical attack. That's what's developing right now. So it turns out that Kerry and McCain were, you know, selling us a pack of lies based upon this girl who was just fired from Georgetown who has a fake PhD. We have defeatists in the White House, anti-war doves who are suddenly willing to bomb, not our friend by any means, but bomb to make certain that the world in Syria is safe for Al-Qaeda and related terrorist organizations. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I told you this is the last word in talk radio, right? This is from just now for tomorrow's edition of the New York Times, but published with the banner headline, A Plea for Caution from Russia. And guess who wrote it? Well, the credited person is Vladimir Putin, which means he wrote it. He had speechwriters write it. It's brilliant. September 11th, 2013, A Plea for Caution from Russia. I'm going to paraphrase what he just wrote, which will be in the New York Times. It's on their blog right now. Listen to what he says. Relations between us, meaning Russia and the U.S., have passed through different stages. We stood against each other during the Cold War, but we were also allies once and defeated the Nazis together. You hear this? Never forget that, by the way. I'm paraphrasing. Listen to what Putin said. He's reminding us that we were once allies and defeated the Nazis together. Incidentally, 400,000 Russians lost their lives in the last weeks of the war in World War II just to take the final days of the battle for Berlin. 400,000 Russians died in that last battle. Do you know that? See, people don't know anything about the losses that Russia suffered in World War II. I happen to be an amateur student of history, and I know much of it, not all of it. So he goes on, he says, after we defeated the Nazis, the Universal International Organization, the UN, was established to prevent such devastation from ever happening again. And then he went on to the UN. And he says, no one wants the United Nations to suffer the fate of the League of Nations, which collapsed because it lacked real leverage. And he, you see, here's a leader who uses history, uses his knowledge of history, uses reason, instead of using idiotic, moronic American sound bites aimed at the dumbest element in America. The dumbest elements in America are who are being talked to by our leaders. But Putin doesn't do that. He goes into Syria now. And this is very important. He's trying to stop the war. He's trying to stop America from plunging us into a war. And he says, it could undermine multilateral efforts to resolve the Iranian nuclear problem, which he acknowledges, and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and further destabilize the Middle East and North Africa. It could throw the entire system of international law and order out of balance. Amen, Mr. Obama. Why don't you listen to this? Listen to what he says next. This is from Vladimir Putin tonight in the New York Times. Syria is not witnessing a battle for democracy, but an armed conflict between government and opposition in a multi-religious country. There are a few champions of democracy in Syria, but there are more than enough Qaeda fighters and extremists of all stripes battling the government. The United States State Department has designated al-Nusra Front and the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant fighting with the opposition as terrorist organizations. This internal conflict, fueled by foreign weapons supplied to the opposition, is one of the bloodiest in the world. Now, here he goes. Maybe John Kerry ought to read this for Mr. Putin. Mercenaries from Arab countries fighting there and hundreds of militants from Western countries and even Russia are an issue of our deep concern. Might they not return to our countries with experience acquired in Syria? After all, fighting in Libya, extremists moved on to Mali. This threatens us all. Again, I'm reading a letter just published by Vladimir Putin. He goes on. From the outset, Russia has advocated peaceful dialogue, enabling Syrians to develop a compromise plan for their own future. He's asking the United Nations Security Council to be the manager here. He says the law is still a law, and we must follow it whether we like it or not. Under current international law, force is permitted only in self-defense or by the decision of the Security Council. Anything else is unacceptable under the UN Charter and would constitute an act of aggression. Mr. Obama, Mr. McCain, Mr. Kerry, is anyone listening to what he is saying? You will be war criminals if you launch a war in Syria, is what he's really saying. Now, I'll go back to Putin's words themselves. I'll quoting now. Here's what he said. No one doubts that poison gas was used in Syria, but there is every reason to believe it was used not by the Syrian army, but by opposition forces to provoke intervention by their powerful foreign patrons who would be siding with the fundamentalists. Reports that militants are preparing another attack, this time against Israel, cannot be ignored. Did you hear this? Well, you ought to read it yourself. And he's trying to argue against force. He's trying to argue for peace. He's trying to argue for the UN. He's trying to appeal to the warmongers in the White House and around him. It's from Vladimir Putin. It's an article that just came out in the opinion pages tonight. And it's on the top of the Drudge Report, which you can link to the New York Times. You just heard it on the Savage Nation. Remember you heard there was going to be a million Muslim march today in Washington? Well, there was a Muslim march. Unfortunately, it was a little bit short of a million people. In fact, it was short by 900. Let's say, put it this way. Do you know how many people showed up? 25 people. You think Muslims who were behind the march lied, including that bucktooth moron, Cornel West from Harvard? How did Cornel West get a teaching job at Harvard? Probably the same way Obama got into Harvard. Probably the same way Obama was made editor of the Harvard Review. Cornel West. He's one of the 25 Muslims who showed up today in the nation's capital for the Million Muslim March. But wait, it gets even better. The media has not yet shown you pictures of the tens of thousands of bikers who showed up to protest the Muslim March and to celebrate the military, celebrate and remember the dead from 9/11. Did you hear what I just said to you? Tens of thousands of motorcyclists are in Washington, D.C., not covered by the communist rats in the media, while the 25 Muslims who showed up were shot from close-ups in order to make it look much bigger. You're living through one of the greatest brainwashings in the history of the world. Leni Riefenstahl would have given probably her left arm to have the power that is granted right now by the leftist press in America. Goebbels probably would have given his right arm to have the power that the networks have together to shape public opinion. But guess what? They're not doing a very good job. Do you know why? Because the cat is out of the bag. Even the average American in the street interviewed today in New York by a Fox News reporter, when asked why we shouldn't go to war in Syria, said because we don't know who the opposition forces are, and they may be worse than Assad. So no matter what the media is doing, it's not working. Why? Because of the internet and because of talk radio. But hush, hush, keep it to yourself. Let's go to the callers now on the program, 855-407-2282. San Francisco on KSFO. Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to compliment you on something that you said last year after the election when Obama seemed unstoppable. And you said that Barack Obama, and not the Republicans, would be responsible for his own undoing. And all I can say is, hello, Syria.
You think that Obama has finally had his Waterloo?
He's not at the apex, but it's coming. It's kind of a conspiracy, and it's brewing. Is the final cake baked? No, but it's...
Well, I think most Americans are opposing the war for a number of reasons. One, they're war-weary, but two, they know that they don't trust the opposition. That's come out in every poll. The people are not stupid. They know who the opposition are full of terrorists, no matter what this girl said about them, and no matter what McCain said and John Kerry said. The people don't trust them, and rightly so. Okay, but Obama, I'm going to tell you something. Don't underestimate him. I'll make another prediction. He's very dangerous right now because he's backed into a corner. He looks like what he really is. He's a king without clothes. He's naked on the world stage. Everyone's laughing at the guy, and that makes for a very dangerous martinet in the White House. So don't assume he's not going to go haywire right now. He can get crazier than he's ever been.
Possibility exists.
And he's surrounded. You see, there's no one tempering him. He is surrounded by girls like this. He has nobody to control him. It's not like George Bush had senior advisors who had come through a long period of time, had experience in international affairs, had been in the war, or had been in the military. The man is surrounded by university leftists who are lunatics.
Savage.
To hold Bashar Assad accountable without engaging in troops on the ground or any other prolonged kind of effort in a very limited, very targeted, very short-term effort that degrades his capacity to deliver chemical weapons without assuming responsibility for Syria's civil war. That is exactly what we're talking about doing. Unbelievably small, limited kind of effort.
So as far as I am concerned, I don't know what targeted strikes mean. That's number one. Secondly, I don't believe a word that is being said for another reason. I'll tell you why. Because I'm a student of history. And I'll tell you what happened in 2003. Colonel Muammar Gaddafi said he will give up his WMDs. He was threatened just like Assad is being threatened. And Gaddafi said, okay, America, I will give up my WMDs if you won't bomb me. And then what happened? U.S.-backed rebels, funded by the United States, trained by the CIA, knocked him off 8 years later. We came, we saw, he died, said Hillary Clinton with a big chuckle with her and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. Let's go to the next case that we can use as an example of what's coming. Do you remember the story of WMDs in Iraq that turned out to be a lie? Do you remember what happened with Saddam Hussein? Do you remember Saddam Hussein was told that unless he gives up his WMDs, the bombs will fall? He said, I have no WMDs. And then the bombs fell. Remember that? Well, there were no weapons of mass destruction. The only people who believed it were the neocons who were peddling the lie and Wallbanger, who made a big issue of WMDs almost up until 2 or 3 years ago. So the fact of the matter is, I've heard this play. I've seen this play before. And the threats that Obama is putting out against Assad were the same exact, it's the same scenario as was used on Gaddafi and then was used on Saddam Hussein. Both bad guys, incidentally. But let me ask you again. We got rid of Gaddafi. What's the result been in Libya? The result has been exactly what Gaddafi warned the West would happen. He said, you may not like me, I may not be a good man, or something to that effect, but if you destroy me and my central government in Libya, you will have a Somalia here in Libya. Warlords will take over Libya. That's exactly what has happened in Libya. And you can thank Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama for their Arab Spring. Number two, what has happened as a result of overthrowing Saddam Hussein? Is Iraq now a better place? Well, it is for the Shiites who have taken over the country from the Sunnis. But is it a better place for the Christians in Iraq? Is it a better place for the Sunnis in Iraq? I don't think so. So we took a side in that civil war, and what did we get for it? Well, we didn't even get a barrel of oil from one of the largest reserves on the planet. What sense did that make, Mr. Bush? It made no sense whatsoever. Now let's go to Egypt. Again, Hillary Clinton's absurd, insane, retrograde policy of Arab Springism, which I called an Arab winter within a month of watching what was unfold. What happened when Mubarak was put in prison? Well, Morsi, the head of the Muslim Brotherhood, took over. Mayhem ensued as the Islamists took over in Egypt that had been our ally for 40 years. What had to happen was the Egyptian people threw Morsi in jail, backed the military, and now there's a semblance of hope for the Egyptian people. They're calling Obama a war criminal in Egypt for backing the Muslim Brotherhood. You have to read what's going on in the world to understand that what Obama is about to do to Syria has been tried and failed in Libya and in Egypt. Now, when I say failed in Libya and Egypt, it's failed from the point of view of stability and peace, but not from the point of view of establishing more power for the Islamists and a new caliphate across the Middle East, which is what many, let us say, many thousands of people have come to understand, and that's why they question not only Obama's logic in all of this, if you can call it that, but where his loyalties really lie. So again, there's a lot to talk about, and the phone number here is no point in giving it to you because the lines are completely sold out. Let me take your calls and see what you think about all of this. Let's go back to the East Coast. George on WABC, what's your opinion? Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. First off, the gas is probably on its way to Lebanon by now. But as far as the targets go, the planes could be hidden. But if you destroy the airfields, the fuel tank reserves, and communication systems, then Assad cannot keep the rebels back.
No, hold it, wait, stop. But he didn't say that. Obama didn't say he wants to do it to not keep the rebels back. He said he wants to bomb Syria to degrade his ability to use weapons of mass destruction, meaning gas. That's what he said his goal is. You know that's not the goal.
Exactly. But there have been photographs of mortars, large-scale 70, 90-millimeter mortars that were used to propel the gas.
Now, you just said airfields, then you said airplanes. Then you said runways. Now you're saying mortars. How do you use Tomahawk missiles against mortars?
No, the mortars were used to propel the gas.
All right, let's say that's true. Well, how do you take out the mortars?
You don't. You can't.
Oh, all right, so we agree on that. So the idea of a surgical strike to eliminate using gas is ludicrous.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so let's say you really want to stop a military from using gas. You have to decimate the country and the military, don't you?
To a degree, yeah, but...
Yeah, you have to do what was done to Saddam Hussein. First, you have to take out his command and control centers, as was done in the early days of Iraq, too, with shock and awe, which all America watched, stayed up all night watching the bombs fall, the phosphorus bombs, and saw the city burning. We were all cheering. It was wonderful. Until we looked up and woke up from the nightmare that was Iraq. The quagmire that Bush got us into under the lie of WMDs, and it's being repeated again. So you have to ask yourself, who's really behind this? And I've been saying to you, there are several elements pushing this war. One is the military-industrial complex. You don't have to be a rocket scientist genius. You only have to be a talk show host who knows history and can put two and two together. It's the military-industrial complex. They've been starving for another war, and they got one. And they got it from the front men called McCain, Lindsey Graham, and the others. Because if you analyze the donations of money from the military-industrialists, you will see that McCain is at the top of the list. He is nothing but a pimp for the arms manufacturers. John McCain should be impeached and put in prison for crimes against humanity for what he is doing, in my opinion. And his good friend now, Lindsey Graham, should also be investigated for the money they're taking from the military-industrial complex. But that's only one part of it. They're only one part of it. If you want to go into who else is pushing it, we know. It's not a mystery. It's not even, are they? Turkey wants the bombing. Saudi Arabia wants the bombing. And Israel wants the bombing. If you read the Israeli websites like I do on a regular basis, and I will say again, I consider myself a friend of Israel, a supporter of Israel, but not Israel uber alles. It's not Israel uber alles, and it's not the tail wagging the dog. It's been 70 or more years, or close to 70 or more years, of this. And there comes a time when Israel, which has one of the most powerful militaries on earth, for whatever reason, has to defend itself. And they cannot use America as a Hessian army. I'm sorry, it can't be done. So that's another element. I know many people who support Israel don't like what they're hearing, and they're calling me names. Well, I'm sorry, but America comes first. And I will tell you why America comes first. And I'll tell it to you so you never forget it. If through any reason, if for any reason we are dragged into a war and become weakened by it, whether it be this issue with Syria or something else that Israel drags us into or any other nation, if America falls or America becomes so fractured that it can no longer defend others or itself, then Israel will disappear from the face of the earth. Therefore, a strong America is more important today than it ever was. And a strong America is more important for Israel today than it ever was. And for those reasons alone, Israel should not try to drag us into what may or may not be in their best interests, which becomes the next question. Would a bombing campaign against Syria and taking out Assad be beneficial for Israel or not? That's a whole separate discussion, which I'm not prepared for at the moment. Let's go to the callers now on the program, 855-407-2822. Let's go to Washington, D.C. on WMAL. Patience, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Oh, I love you so much. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I just wanted to touch on what you just said. And I've been looking on the Internet to try to figure out who actually organized the Million Muslim March. And I did a little bit of research in how it first started, as a march because of the oppression of the Muslim people in the United States since 9/11.
Poor Muslims. They're oppressed so terribly in America, aren't they?
Yeah, and Mike, what I wanted to say
But how many showed up? Was it close to a million?
Not even, but they didn't even make a million. You see our bikers, and the patriotic bikers came out there. They had 2 weeks of planning to organize this, and then D.C. stopped them without giving them the launch to be able to come into the city and be able to...
That's right. The Muslim sympathizers who worked for Barack Hussein Obama did not give the bikers a permit to come in the city, but they gave the 25 Muslims who say they represented a million Muslims not only a permit, but of course a loudspeaker as well. Well, that's what we're living in. Everything is upside down, Patience.
Absolutely. And I was never into politics before this second term, and then things just started to not feel right. It doesn't feel right that something like that was organized, and nothing was organized to actually honor the victims of 9/11 on the Mall. Nothing of any substantial value. I mean, we had something in Woodbridge where they're setting up a new memorial there, but nothing of any substantial value. So, and I wanted...
How is it that almost a couple of 100,000 bikers show up to rally for America, to rally for the military, to make us remember 9/11 and the victims of 9/11, and they're given no press whatsoever, while 25 ragtag Muslims show up, including the bucktooth rabble-rouser from Harvard, some professor who is no real professor in my estimation, 25 of them show up, and it's turned into something glorious for America's diversity. Let me tell you something, Patience, and I said it first 15 years ago, and I wrote it, and I stand by it. Whenever I hear the word diversity, I think perversity, because that's all it is. It's a front to jam the most, well, let me stop right there. Diversity is perversity. I'll use some phraseology of my own. And if we don't wake up to what they're doing to us, we're all going to be turned into the sheeple that they think we are. Patience, thanks for calling us from Washington, D.C. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Today I've had a pretty rough day myself, I gotta tell you. The same finger that Anthony Weiner used to wish a goodbye to the press, the famous picture of Anthony Weiner with his middle finger up to the press as he left in shame, as he should. Let's see, my day started with me lifting up a paper shredder and trying to empty it of a shredded paper, and the entire cover, which weighed about 40 pounds, came down on my finger and took a little piece of this, not the skin surface, almost down to the bone. My skin is shredded down to the bone. That's A. So I said, stop crying, you know, what are they doing in a battlefield? So I've been wrapping it all. That was today. Wait, you want to hear it? Got better by the day. Now I'm going to tell you something you're not going to believe. I have the most wonderful people in the world fly out from the East Coast to buy my boat. I'm getting out of boating because I don't have the time for it. And the boat is fine. It goes through its sea trial. After all day, the captain is lifting up my heavy, like 20-foot dinghy with a 40-horsepower engine, and the cable snaps on the davit. And the dinghy falls, it hits the boat, falls in the water upside down. Now, thank God I wasn't there. I was getting ready for the show. I just got this news. I almost got sick. So let's see. The dinghy got damaged. The boat got damaged. It could all be fixed. You know what I'm saying? Whoever heard of a cable snapping on a davit? I never heard of such a thing, but apparently things happen. And that's what happens with equipment. All I can say is thank God I'm not in charge of maintaining our F-A-18 Hornets and our aircraft carriers. Did you hear what happened today? The lying woman that McCain and Kerry relied upon, who said she had a real PhD from Georgetown, was fired today because she has no PhD. She's not even registered at Georgetown. It did not stop dummy McCain and lying Kerry from citing her article as an excuse for backing the so-called rebels in Syria. This is very serious business because it means that they're relying upon lobbyists for the opposition forces to set U.S. policy. So that means McCain, Kerry, God knows who else, were relying upon this Dr. Obeghi, who's not even a doctor. I mean, it's like calling a podiatrist a doctor and asking him to perform brain surgery. I mean, I have nothing against podiatrists from the Bronx, but the fact of the matter is they shouldn't perform brain surgery. Well, this woman is being cited. Well, you know something? Let me play it for you in a minute. At the same time, I want to welcome WRKO, a new affiliate. It's actually a new old affiliate in Boston, Massachusetts. I was on that station for years in a different time slot. The people clamored to have me back because they want me. And while you're all listening, I want you to listen to the idiot McCain in clip three talking to none other than John Kerry.
John, do you agree with Dr. Obeghi's assessment of the opposition?
I agree with most of that. They have changed significantly. They've improved. And as I said earlier, the fundamentals of Syria are secular, and I believe will stay that way.
And I think it's very important to point out again, as you just said, it's a secular state. They would reject radical Islamists, and they, in
now,
some cases,
right here.
In the
this is the lie. They sound like a tag team in an ad selling us on global warming while the Arctic ice cap increases in size by 70%. I mean, it's the McCain-Kerry vaudeville act talking about the peace-loving opposition forces in Syria. So now let's listen to the lout McCain again talking. Both of them should be impeached for what they're saying. Basing going to war on a lying girl from Georgetown? McCain to Kerry in clip four.
So when we see these commentators say, well, we don't know which side will win. We don't know who the bad guys are. If you agree with this assessment, we certainly know who the bad guys are. Is that correct?
I believe we do for the most part.
Okay.
For the most
part. I believe we do. Covering his back again. Old Kerry covering his behind. I believe we do. A classic Obama statement. Not we do or we don't. I believe we do. I believe we do. Ooh, I believe we do. Well, the person they were relying upon, Dr. Obeghi, it turns out is no doctor, number one. And she's not a scholar. But her writings on Syria, which were published in Rupert Moloch's Wall Street Journal, were relied upon by McCain and Kerry as a prelude to war. I mean, this is serious business. If we had legitimate historians, this would go down as a blemish in the history of American governance. Write that down. It's a good line. America, I like governance. It's a nice word. It's something I would have heard in social studies. Governance. It's a big word. All right, let's take some callers now on the Savage Nation. Jim on WABC, you're really angry at me for some reason. Why are you mad?
I'm mad, Mr. Savage, because I cannot believe that you could stand there or sit there, rather, in front of your microphone or get on your pulpit and speak about an American hero like John McCain in the way that you do. Now, I'm not...
Wait a minute, sir. Let's stop for a minute. No one is denying he suffered, and no one has denied that he was an American hero. Does that make him above the law? If he ran a traffic light, should a cop say, sir, oh, you're John McCain, I'll let you go?
No, but that's...
Well, all right, so wait. So if he ran a traffic light and a cop said, let me see your license and registration, and he says, I'm John McCain, should the cop say, I salute you because you were injured in the war and you're a hero?
No.
So by the same analysis, must I accept his idiotic commentary as the Holy Grail?
No, you don't have to accept his idiotic commentary as anything. And while his commentary may be idiotic, sir, I still believe that you should give him the respect that he deserves.
He deserves the jeers I'm giving him, not respect.
He says.
He doesn't deserve anything but jeers. The man should be impeached for what he's... He's trying to drag us into war. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That it's way beyond this idiot from Arizona, Jim. He's trying to drag us into war based upon a lobbyist who works for the Al-Qaeda elements of the Syrian opposition. Jim, it's a nightmare.
I agree with that.
All right, good. I'm glad we agree. As my father's store, his little store, had a little sign. Don't go away, man. Just go away. That's all. A little sign in his little store. Don't go away, man. Just go away. Tennessee, Helen, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I wanted to tell you that you're my number one from now on, and I concur with everything you've said. You had me in tears even the other day. You thought we were going to head for war. People have to start listening to you, and there are people out here that are listening to you. I'm really from...
Well, yes, in the Southeast, people listen to me, and of the millions of listeners I may have, I don't know the number, there are approximately 18 women who listen who are Savagettes. So you may be one amongst the 18 women who listen to the show.
I'm on your Facebook.
All right. I'm glad you got in my face tonight. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.